It's great to be here. So at 11:30, the children are going to come through those doors. We just need to give them a big round of applause again. And then we're going to come back into a time of worship again and just enjoying and delighting in the Lord. Last week, it was just really exciting to have Toppy Colioso here. And Toppy is great. I really value Toppy's input because he's been here before. So where we're at now, Kemi, his wife, sat there and said, oh, just reminded of them of where they were at like a few years ago. And he just felt there's something that God is doing here, which is really exciting. There's one thing that he did say in particular, that he came in, he liked the flags outside, he saw it was great. He came up the escalator, came up to the top of the escalator, and he said he was given the best welcome that he's received in a church for a long time. And then he said this, he said, I don't even think that the person who welcomed me at the top of the stairs was on the welcome team, because they didn't have a welcome t-shirt, they didn't have the blue t-shirt on. And obviously I wouldn't want to embarrass the person that it was, Stella. But what he said was, actually somebody came in and then somebody welcomed them, and then there were other people that welcomed them, and there were people that smiled at them and made them feel welcome and included. And you just need to know it makes a massive, massive difference. When people are coming into church and they see somebody there who is there for them and really well. So I just want to thank you, really, for how we've taken things so far, for standing outside and welcoming people, for standing by doors, opening doors, smiling them. What Pete and Linda are doing is just fantastic in corralling the welcome team. But I just want to thank you for that. And we need to press on with all that God has got for us in this place. Did you know Jesus had a very good knack of shocking people? Do you know that? So we like to think that Jesus was this really nice, sort of like middle-aged, slightly balding, but with a beard, man who wears sort of like socks and sandals together, and he's made great intentions to sit down and have a cup of tea with somebody. I just need to let you know, Jesus was not like that at all. Jesus at times was brutally blunt and very controversial. And did you know what? In fact, he was so controversial that you know what they did to him? They killed him. And they did that because of some of the things that Jesus said. I need to remind you that there was somebody who was caught in the act of having sex with somebody that wasn't their husband. Caught in the act of it. And what was this woman expecting? She was expecting death. She was expecting to be stoned. And what did Jesus say to her? Just go. Your sins are forgiven. Oh, it's quite controversial, wasn't it? He said all sorts of things. In a culture that expected people to take revenge, Jesus said this, I want you to go and love your enemies, and I want you to go and forgive them. He was very, very good at saying controversial things. And you know what? Everybody would like to have Jesus on their side. So if you look through history, there have been loads of people that have attributed things and said, no, Jesus would be really nice. Apparently Fidel Castro, the leader of Cuba, the great sort of like communist bastion right next to America, he took Jesus onto his side. Hitler took Jesus onto his side. Loads and loads of people have taken and said, actually, we want to have a little bit of Jesus. We want to make Jesus say the things that we want him to say. And you know, sometimes you get this like ventriloquist dummy, and you sort of like, you get this thing here, and you have this dummy, and it's like this person is making this dummy say what they want them to say. Sometimes it's a little bit like that with Jesus, that people have made Jesus say exactly what they want him to say. And then guess what? Jesus stops being offensive. And you know why? Because he just says what people want to hear. Because we change it around and we get all sorts of excuses just to make Jesus say exactly what we want him to say. And so in effect, that's why we're looking that Jesus has been gagged. Because the truth of what Jesus says so often isn't made very clear. So over the next 4 weeks, we're going to look at some of the uncomfortable things that Jesus said. We're going to go back to some of the Gospels and see what are some of the things that were really quite shocking and say, how will they affect our lives? I just need to ask you a question, a little bit of participation now. Hands up if you feel, at the moment, just a little bit stressed. Okay. Well, I hope it's not because you're sitting in church that you feel stressed. I wish Duncan would stop it. Okay. Okay, I suspect that many of us live with stress. And I'm going to look at all sorts of figures about stress. My parents used to live in this village in the Cotswolds called Ilmington. And it was just bizarre because in Ilmington, everything is really slow. And mostly it's filled with old people, so they are quite slow in any case, but they're wandering around. And then it's quite slow. But then you come back down to London, and honestly, I have at times found myself running somewhere and then stopping and thinking, why am I running? I don't have to. There's no reason, but there's just this, like, there's this pervasive culture of, like, doing so much. So what I want you to do is, Jesus spoke a lot about stress. Can you turn, if you've got your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 11, and we're going to read what Jesus says about stress. Luke chapter 11, and verses 21. It's not, I don't think it is Luke chapter 11, is it? Yeah, I think, just to work out where Jesus said something, okay, it's Luke chapter 12. Thank goodness for that, I found it. That'd be really embarrassing, wouldn't it? Just for a long time, just talk amongst yourselves. Okay, so here we go. Luke chapter 12. And verses 21. Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not to have a rich relationship with God. Then turning to his disciples, Jesus said this. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you will have enough food to eat or enough clothes to wear. For life is more than food and your body more than clothing. Look at those ravens over there. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for God feeds them. And you are far more valuable than they to the birds. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And if worry can't accomplish a little thing like that, what's the use of worrying over bigger things? Look at the lilies and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for the flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. So why do you have so little faith? And don't be concerned about what to eat and about what to drink. Don't worry about such things. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world. But your Father already knows your needs. Seek first the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. So don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. I think we live in a culture that just relishes stress. We live on Sefton Avenue, which links with Hale Drive. Deansbrook School is there. And there was a short while ago, there's a few of us that live around there. There was a short while ago where these two drivers went head to head in going down this road, very narrow road, lots of children being dropped off to school, lots of cars being parked around, only a single file of traffic, head to head traffic. And then what happened was everyone piled up behind them. And so you just end up, no, they couldn't go anywhere at all. And then in the end, I just thought, and I was stuck in this traffic and I was probably about 200 yards from my home. And I thought, look, what I could do is I could just get out, park the car in the middle of this traffic jam, walk home, come back an hour later and see what had happened, okay? But that wouldn't be very helpful. And then they just sit there head to head hooting, okay? Now, what could you do? What can you do? So I just thought, I got out and I thought, And I said to her, this isn't going to work, is it really? Because everyone's just head to head, nobody's moving. And I promise you, this guy said, well, I'm not moving. I'm not moving. I come down here all the time. I get blocked in. I'm not moving. And then you go around to somebody else and they say, well, I'm not moving either. And then you just think, it's like, and you can just see stress levels going up and up and up and up. And sometimes it's almost like a sign of how important you are, how stressed you are, isn't it? I mean, you don't want to, but it is a little bit like that. If you're really stressed, yes, actually, you're really very important. If you go to a coffee shop, there are always people working, aren't there? All the time, people are working. How many times have you had a day off or been on holiday and had to go back to work for a break? I've had days off. I've had days off, like my Sabbath, have a time to rest, and I just have to go back to work to sort of like calm down a little bit. Just a bit of a breather. And think, oh, yeah, it's okay. Okay, I want to ask you, what do you think are some of the biggest challenges to our rest? In fact, let me just tell you. Yeah, it's in my bag at the moment. Our phones. I mean, our phones. Put your hands up if you're holding your phone in your hand at the moment. Joe, did you just put yours away? He did. I could see him. Okay, now, there are things that are phones about that are really good because you can do your, you can read your Bible in it. I'm sure you're doing that right now. I'm sure you're not playing Angry Birds on it now. But the thing is that like with our phones, they just get to us all the time. I read this tweet from Mark Driscoll and it said this. The biggest threat to our Sabbath is this, our smartphones. Turn it off and Sabbath. It's all Angry Birds and cat photos and shenanigans anyway. And you just think, okay, I need to ask you, you may not want to admit to this. Have you checked Facebook and emails since you've been in this auditorium? Has anybody? Since I've been speaking? No. Okay. It's just all the time. I need to let you know, the other day, I went for a meal at the restaurant that's next door to here with Jill. We went there on a Monday evening. It's our time off. And so we just thought we'd go for a meal. And in the meal, so we try not to have our phones on. A phone call came, and it was from an unusual person. Not an unusual, but they're quite a nice person, actually. But it's a friend of ours, but it was unusual to get a phone call from them at 10 o'clock at night. So Jill thought, oh, okay, I'm going to take this. So she took it, and in the end, it was a long phone call, and it was a serious issue, actually. It was a call that had to be taken. But then I remember sitting at the table. It's a fairly empty restaurant. The battery had gone on my phone. What would you do? Like, it was an empty restaurant, and I felt ill. what am I going to do? And, like, it was awful. And I just like, Jill, come back. You have to help me. And do you know, I just think there is something about stress and the phones. And you know, if you've got young children, you're going to have to be really clear on what your rules are for how children cope with smartphones. You need to be really clear on what you do. And I'm very happy to talk to you about what Jill and I have done on that. But I mean, it's tricky. But there is something that gets us all the time. Did you know that 1 in 5 of us will have been affected by stress? According to a Mind survey that was taken last year, 1 in 5 people will take at least one day off a year from work due to stress. Apparently, it costs the British UK taxpayers £1.24 billion a year, and stress is the biggest single cause of illness in the UK. 5 million UK adults admit that they live most of their lives either stressed or very stressed. So when Jesus starts talking about stress, he's not just talking about like a lifestyle issue. He is talking about something that is right at the very heart of my life and your life today. Today. He's challenging something about the way that we live our lives. And if you look back, and we're just going to really briefly look at a couple of different Old Testament examples, but you see that actually what Jesus' teaching on stress comes from the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, they do not see our overbusyness as something light and frivolous. God sees it as an extraordinarily serious sin. And he sees it as a serious sin Because a lot of the time, we are trying to play God with our lives. And actually, our overbusyness is because we want to be in control. And because sometimes I am not prepared to trust God with my life. And that's the truth. And you know, when I realized that, and so this book, this series, Gagging Jesus, it's come from, we're basing all these next 4 weeks on a book that Phil Moore has written. And Phil Moore is a friend of mine. I had lunch with him, and I started reading this book, and I said, oh, this is dynamite, Phil. Can we use it? And he just said, yeah, use it however you want to. But I realized that there'd been issues in my life where I was feeling incredibly stressed. And when you pick it and you see underneath it, I just wasn't trusting God to come through in it. I wanted to be in control. And I felt if I'm not in control, this thing is going to go out of control. I have no idea what's going to happen. So just firstly, God created the world in 6 days. Then he had a rest. Why did he have a rest? Was he tired? Was stressed? What am I going to call these animals? Who's going to do it? I don't know. Okay, God created all the world in 6 days. On the seventh day, he rested. He didn't rest because he was tired, because the Bible says that Jesus is always at work. He rested to show us that we need to have a pattern of working 6 days and then resting for one. And actually, what God really wanted was he wanted Adam to go into a garden and to see all the plants that he hadn't tended. He wanted to enjoy the fruits that he hadn't planted. He wanted to sort of like take care of the animals that he hadn't created. But he wanted to do all of those things because that was the day that God was going to be God and Adam wasn't. And the reason when Adam began to get stressed is when he said, actually, I want to take control of this thing. And it was at that point that actually stress came into Adam's life. If you go into the time of Noah, in Genesis 6, you see this time when Noah was the one man that was steady before God, and he walked faithfully God, he was righteous, and it said he walked closely with God, and yet around him there were people that were over busy, they were violent, they were corrupt, they were doing all sorts of things, and God came in and said, no, that has to change. After the flood, Noah had this quite big to-do list. There was a lot of stuff to do. There's a lot of things to be sorted out. And what was the first thing that Noah did when he came out of the ark? He stopped. And he worshipped. And he let God be God. And he didn't try to take control. He allowed God to truly be God. If you look at Moses, you know the story Moses led the children out of Egypt, and they're running away, and all of Pharaoh's men and all the Egyptians, they're chasing after them, and they're thinking, no, and they're going to get squashed and crushed. And then they come up to this Red Sea, and they're thinking, oh, no, what have you done, Moses? Why didn't you just let us die in Egypt? That would have been far better if we could have died in Egypt. And they're being faced, and let me just read this. It's a passage, and it comes from Exodus 14. Is this not what we said to you, Moses, in Egypt? Leave us alone that we might serve the Egyptians. For it would have been far better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, fear not. Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians who you shall see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You only have to be silent. It's amazing, isn't it? It's an extraordinary story of actually you facing all this stress. Ah, we're going to get squashed. Either we're going to die or we're going to drown. And God says, no, actually, you just need to come here and you need to trust me. You need to trust me. And so God said to the Egyptians, listen, if you don't take this, you can work hard for 6 days. If you do not rest, you will burn out. There's even a story in Numbers, if you really want to know, about a guy who went out to collect firewood. And guess what happened to him? On the Sabbath, he collected firewood. He was killed. He was stoned. Because God takes it that seriously. And the reason that the whole thing of like resting and Sabbath is so important is because this, that when we stop, we are saying, God, we are trusting you. We're not just trusting ourselves. And it's good to work hard and do all this, but there comes a point where we have to stop and say, okay, God, in this situation here, I am trusting you. And you know, when we say, oh, I'm just really, really worried, Underneath, what we're saying is this: I'm not convinced that God is going to come through on this. And when we say, I am feeling really stressed at the moment, we are admitting that actually that we are not trusting God in that situation. And it's the cause of our stress. I just need to let you know, there was a situation a few months ago, and I was just waking up in the night feeling really stressed with this thing. And I just thought, I just don't know what to... It's like, I don't know how I'm going to see myself through this situation. And I don't know how I'm going to lead in this situation and do the right thing. And if I'm really honest, I wasn't saying, God, I don't know. I was just saying, I don't know. And I was getting more and more stressed and worked up about it. And then I suddenly realized that actually that was a form of idolatry. I am trying to take charge. So what I did, I just said, okay, God, you need to come and work in this situation. I'm going to trust you in this situation. And I'm not joking. About 3 weeks of stress, the next day resolved it by nothing that I did. I'm not joking. It was an extraordinary story. And you think, actually, I need to let God be God in these situations. There's a famous 4th century theologian that describes stress and worry as this: the blasphemous anxiety to do God's work for him. Luke 12, this passage that we read, lists some of the things that we stress about. So, hands up if you're stressed about money. Okay? Hands up if you're stressed about housing. Hands up if you're stressed about your health. Hands up if you're stressed about your clothing. Do you know what? We can get stressed about so many different things. And we allow stress to come in. And you know, the thing is, work is a good thing, isn't it? Work is a good thing. And we're not saying, okay, we'll just like sit back, we'll kick back, do nothing, we'll just go on a beach holiday and expect... No, they're for 6 days. 6 days, God's saying, oh no, you can work really hard. Work really hard. But he's saying on this seventh day, you have to stop. You have to stop and allow God to be God. There's a verse in Timothy that says that if we don't provide for our families, that we're worse than an unbeliever. Oh, so we have to take our responsibility seriously. And I was thinking, oh, what about students? Okay, students, like stressed with exams. And you think, oh, my word, I don't know what I'm going to do. I haven't got time. I'm so tired. How can I do all this stuff? And actually, you know, I think God's plan as a student is that you're extremely successful. That you are able to work as hard as you possibly can. That you're able to get outstanding results for your exams. But you know, I think even that, a lot of the stress in exams comes from this. What happens if I fail? What's my mum and dad going to say if I don't do well? What are these people going to think of me if I don't do well? And all the time we allow stress to come within us. But actually the opposite of stress is trusting God. So while these priests were in Jerusalem, they were busy with all their religion, while the merchants were busy buying and selling, and homeowners were busy decorating and doing all this stuff in their home, what Jesus did was this. He died on the cross, and he said, it's finished. It's finished. He dealt with it. No longer do we have to prove ourselves to God. No longer do we have to earn our salvation. We don't have to do it. He did it all on the cross for us. And he said, look, it's finished. And there are areas of stress in your life and in my life that today we can bring to Jesus. And we can rest in what he's done. Psalm 46, verse 8 says this. Come and see the glorious works of the Lord. See how he brings destruction on the world. He causes wars to end throughout the earth. He breaks the bow and snaps the spear. He burns the shields with fire. And then God says this, be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. But be still and know that I am God. I know, because we put our hands up, that we are holding areas of stress in our lives right now that God wants us to hand over to him. God wants you to come to a place where you can trust God with those issues. In a culture that around us that is just dominated by stress and getting burned out, I want to ask you this morning, will you confess your sin of trying to trust in yourself and come to a place this morning of trusting Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross for us? Will you confess your sin this morning of overbusyness? And you know, I think when we do trust him, God gives us a greater freedom. So I'm just thinking about all the stuff in the church, you know, here for Trinity, and you're thinking, oh, is it quite stressful? Is all the stuff that we're doing to make church happen, is it quite stressful? And you know, different people have said to me, oh, it's quite hard, and what are we doing with this? And we don't know where the creche is out there, and we don't, oh, it's all changing, and we can't get in, it's quite stressful. And you know, and I believe that actually we do want to work at making this thing happen, don't we? Our goal is that we want to see more people loving Jesus more throughout North London. That's why we've moved here. And it's like, it can be quite stressful, but I think God's saying, no, just give that to me. Allow me to carry that. Just come to a place where trust in me. And I believe that when we can trust in him, we can serve with a new heart, with a new attitude. We can work hard, but it comes from a place of quietly trusting in God. It comes from a place that understanding that to grow this church is God's work. It's not our work. And we just need to trust him. And I think above all else, we deal with stress by looking Jesus in the eye and we say this: I believe that you are the king of my life. You're the king of my finances. You're the king of my relationships. You are the king of my exams and my schoolwork. You are the king of this church. You are the king of my family. You are the king of my marriage. And when we come back, we come to this place of trusting in him. I just want to finish by reading Matthew 11. And what we're going to do is I'm going to read Matthew 11, not all of it, but some of it. And I want us to come to a place of handing stuff over to Jesus. And I want to pray for us. And I want us to, you know, even to take some of the things that you feel that you are stressed about right now. And I want us to give them over to Jesus and trust him in that. Is that okay? What I'd like us to do, actually, could we stand? So it's when you're standing up here preaching, one of the things that I've learned is not a helpful thing to do is to say, now just think about the things that are worrying you, okay? Just think about the things that you're concerned about. Because then people's minds, they start to wander and they go off. Okay, but actually, that is what I want you to do right now. I want you to just hold in your mind some of the things that are really stressing you. That you just think, I can't do this. And then I'm going to pray for us. And I'm going to read these verses. And I'm going to ask you to confess your sin of trying to play God with this issue. Heavenly Father, you know the pressures that we are under in life. And we come to you now and we confess to you our sin of wanting to be in control. We confess to you our desire, Lord, to control the situation instead of trusting you. And so we come to you now and we say, Lord, we confess our sin. We want to step back and say, oh Lord, would you be God in this situation? Would you come through on this, we ask, oh Lord.
Matthew 11, 28 says this. Jesus says to you this morning, come to me, all of you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light.
So these issues, Lord, we come to you. We offer them up to you. And we say, Lord, would you be God in these situations? Forgive our self-reliance and bring us to a new place of trusting in you, O Lord. Father, thank you.